As we wind down our second Day Camp podcast season, we look back today at some of our favorite topics and guests of 2019 and 20. From Will Pierce and Audrey Monkey, Jonathan Gold and Ryan Rosen, the Bucks, McGuire, Thurber, Brandwine, Gabby and Ruby and Dr. G, and we'll end the pod with each of our hosts talking about our top goal for the 2020 summer season.
This is the Day Camp pod from Go Camp Pro, bringing you the best ideas, strategies, and discussions in the day camp industry. You can find our show notes at daycamppodcast.com.
This Day Camp podcast is brought to you by our friends at AM Skyer, the leading insurance resource for many of the finest camps in America. For almost 100 years, AM Skyer has been a helpful partner with summer camps, ready to support any needs arising in PR, legal, health, facility, and much, much more. Experience the AM Skyer difference.
This Go Camp Pro podcast is also sponsored in part by American Camp Association, New York and New Jersey. They are dedicated to preserving, promoting, and enhancing the quality of the summer camp experience. Their professional development includes the one and only Tri-State Camp Conference, as well as many other conferences that can be found at aca-nynj.org.
This Day Camp podcast is brought to you by CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists, the fine purveyors of the best recreation products for in, on, and around your water. Check out their website at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun. Welcome back, my friends, to the Day Camp podcast. I'm Andy Pritikin, director of Liberty Lake in the Philly suburbs of New Jersey.
I'm Sam Thompson from Crystal Lake Park District, northwest of Chicago.
I'm Aaron Gluckstein from Camp Robin Hood, located just outside of Toronto, Canada.
And we are Day Camp professionals joining forces to provide a forum for summer camp pros like you to share ideas and best practices across North America and beyond. Today is our very first Best Of pod. Oh, don't you feel like we're something now, guys? It's a best of. As we recap some of our favorite topics and podcasts from our second season. So, just a quick check-in, you know, got to check in with everybody. We can't just assume everything's. How are you doing? How are you holding up, Sam, in this time?
Still, you know, so many things are up in the air. And in our area, we're in quarantine still, so we're not even to phase one. But lots of meetings and lots of taking in info right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I heard, you know, you said before the podcast, you mentioned that you did a survey with your folks. I thought that's a very smart thing to do, even if it's a little disheartening what it says at the end. Yeah.
They did surprise me. That was for sure. So,
well, look, you know, data is an important thing. You know, I think a lot of camp professionals, we like operating from the gut, and the gut ain't always right. So more power to you for doing that. And how are you doing, Gluck, up there in the Great White North?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting experience, but we've had a lot of time to do, some great planning, and hopefully we'll be able to implement some of these, new ideas. You have a chance to, you know, a time like this gives us a chance to really rethink some things based on the time that we've had, and have some great meetings, and we've come up with some great things that like I said, hopefully we'll implement this summer. I've also been working on some health and safety stuff, which has been exciting, you know, new policies, and so, you know, ultimately we'll come out in a better spot, I think. You know, we'll be better prepared for the future, and so
and also, I mean, you're recently married, right? So I mean, I'm guessing that, you know, your wife's like, hey Aaron, now that you got this time, how about fixing this thing and that, moving that and bringing this stuff up from the basement? You got the manual labor thing going?
She actually told me the opposite. I'm the guy that likes to, you know, keep things clean and organized. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, we knew we were going into quarantine. I was planning to go to the Home Depot, pick up paint and all these different things. And she's like, if I'm not allowed to leave this place for the next 6 weeks, and we have a 700 square foot condo. So she's like, I'm not going to be living here with tarps on the furniture and, you know, paint cans everywhere. So I haven't done that much, but we cleaned, we've gotten to spend some time together. It's been like a honeymoon. We don't know when next time we're going to be able to travel. Oh, so, you know, it's been a nice experience. We have some fun together.
That's nice.
Some shows on Netflix, you know, the usual. Yeah,
that's great. So, you know, 20 years down the road, like me, my wife and I, and we want to strangle each other after being stuck in this house and working with each other for, you know, all this time from sunrise to sunset or even beyond. I've spent a lot of my time in the last couple of weeks giving interviews. I'm on the PR committee for ACA National and locally in New Jersey. So I am like revved up. I mean, I got my talking points and everything. The big two talking points being, number one, camp's got to get going if we want the economy going. That camp is childcare, and we say it all the time that, you know, we have to admit that we are daycare. Day camps is daycare, right? And we need to embrace that. So, and the government needs to understand that. That's how important that is. And then the second thing being the mental and, you know, socio-relationship brains of these children, the mental health of these children. You know, now that they've canceled school all around until, you know, through the end of June, in most of America, you know, these kids are going to, camp are going to be the canary in the coal mine. And basically our employees are going to be like essential workers. That's how I'm sort of framing it. And, you know, it's going to be more important. Kids being at camp this summer can be more important than ever before. And it's really sad to see the camps that are closing. And I know they have their reasons and all. But for those who are remaining open, who are fighting the fight here, man, these kids are going to be something. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting.
It's interesting though. You know, I was at, we do this curbside pickup thing at the grocery store, you know, where they, mm-hmm. they come and they put it in your car so you don't have to go in the store. And these like high school students who, you know, would be our camp employees during the summer, many of them in that age group. And they're really working. They're working hard. Like they are running around. There's a lot of demand and they are, like, you know, I spoke to some, you know, young guy as he's putting the groceries in the car, and he's like, I'm exhausted, and I've been working, you know, 12 days straight in a row. And
yeah.
So these are the kind of people that are keeping things going, and, you know, they can, you know, we can appreciate it being camp people, you know, the kind of work that they have to put in, yeah. to, you know, to
keep a lot of commitment.
People happy.
No doubt about it. So this is what we're doing, folks. We have each chosen two topics, podcasts, from our 20 that we did this season. And we're going to just quickly summarize and talk about the cool things that we think about them and sort of go around the horn. All right? So we're going to start with you, Aaron. Age before beauty. Go for it.
Thanks. So I think that, you know, just going through the different episodes we did this season, I really identified with the Audrey Monk episode that was talking about leveraging our brand. And for those of you that don't remember, Audrey runs this, she has this brand called Sunshine Parenting. She has podcasts and blogs and a website. As well as a camp that she runs she changed her title to creative director, I believe, because her family does run it still. And she's a consultant because she has all these other projects. Impressive lady. And, some great things came up in that, in that podcast that, inspired me. You know, just the fact that, you know, when we're diving into it, you know, just talking about the fact that in many small towns, day camps or overnight camps, residential camps, you know, the camp director is often, you know, a really respected expert in childcare. And, you know, Andy, I think, made the comment when I was re-listening to the episode, Andy made the comment, like, you know, the camp director in a camp in a small town could run for mayor and probably easily win because they're so well known, and, you know, both with the businesses and the families in the area. So I think that was, you know, really interesting, the fact that, you know, really leveraging your status as an expert in parenting, as an expert in, you know, as a staff trainer with, you know, older youth. I think that those are some key points that came out of that episode that really, I would like to focus on. And we have to some extent in the past couple of months tried to leverage that a little bit, and, you know, doing things that, paint our, you know, our camps as the experts and as the people that are best suited to deliver messages, about childcare. So, you know, it's relevant in these current times that we're in, and, you know, it'd be great if there were more camp directors that, you know, we're consulted on the news and, you know, in the media when it comes to how to best care for kids. And I think, you know, it's probably going to be coming in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the summer. I think there's going to be, you know, people who will, you know, come to light that will be asked to, you know, provide leadership. We were just talking about it, you know, a minute ago, canary in the coal mine scenario, of, you know, camps being open before schools, because most schools are closed to the end of the semester, the end of the year. So camp directors might be those, you know, potentially be those people who set the tone for how the school system is going to run in the fall. You know, how people are going to get back to normal based on the, you know, the steps that we take and the, you know, procedures we put into place to keep kids safe, which we always do. So I think that, you know, that's an interesting perspective that, you know, that we can use, that I took from, you know, some of the stuff that Audrey's doing.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts with just how we define ourselves. I think that, you know, camp is always seen, oh, camp, summer camp is this frivolous thing, right? I think that's how we tend to think that other people see us, and there's a lot of truth to it in some ways. But I also think it's a sort of second city mentality. You know, we are just like teachers in many ways. And the way that I frame it is that we are youth development professionals. And that's what I tell my staff at my first staff meeting every single spring. When we sit down, I was like, you are a youth development professional. You are a teacher, right? You're getting paid to teach children great things, you know, and sort of just framing it at that and not as just like this little summer job, you know, that people do. So I think that's part of it.
I think we end up too being a resource for the whole family. She touched on that a little bit, that these parents are looking for someone to help them, you know, frame what they're doing and give them resources as well. And camp does that.
Yeah, I mean, most parents don't have much experience before they become parents, right? They're learning on the fly, so they learn from us as well. All right, round the horn. Off to you, Sam.
Mine was Michael Brandwine's activity specialists. And the reason I like that one so much is, first of all, Michael is so good at describing things in a step-by-step manner. So, you know, we're all trying to grow our camp counselors as both teachers and as humans. And he gives us those little details that help us figure out how to do it methodically, I guess. I loved that he had a get ready zone. So essentially, he was talking about integrating your specialist with your staff as a whole, avoiding where your camp counselors would drop them off for art and not be part of the process, and avoiding the chaos of one group leaving and another group coming. So his get ready zone was a separate table away from the current group, where then the art specialist could come over and prepare them for what they're about to do, and then have them come over without it being the chaos. And he talked quite a bit about them looking to the counselor first and including the counselor and the game plan and the lesson plan for what they were about to teach, so that they're all on the same page.
Yeah, you know, it's such a great episode. And, you know, the word I use for Michael and for like most of the things we're talking about, frankly, today, it's intentionality, right? Because we as camp professionals, we try really hard to be really good at a lot of things, right? And it's hard because there's so many things. To do one thing really well takes a lot of time and thought and effort to do it, right? And that you know, podcast with Michael about the relationship between the specialists and the counselors is such a thing that we take for granted. And therefore, most camps do it mediocre, right? Because it's just one of those things. It's just another one of those things we got to worry about, right? So for Michael to put in that intentionality is just so amazing.
Right? And I think as a young head of an activity specialty back in the day, I read that idea in Michael's book, and I implemented. I was running the canoe area at Robin Hood years ago, and implemented that. And you know, it was, the counselors were like, you know, thank you so much. You know, now we can keep the chaos away from you know, our campers and keep things organized. So it was a great idea. You know, Michael has a million of these great ideas, but that was one that resonated with me specifically too.
And he always makes it so user-friendly. I mean, you know, he makes it where you're like, why didn't I think of that? So,
Right. And the challenging thing with Michael Bramway stuff is he's got a million great ideas, like you said. It's the execution of them is, you know, how do you actually take it and do it? You know, that's the challenge, right? I see people at Michael Brandwine sessions taking, you know, 20 pages of notes. And I'm just thinking to myself, are they going to take it back to their staff and actually apply it though? That's the challenge. All right. So in the realm of intentionality, the first one I want to talk about is the debriefing your session, which was the second podcast of the season. We did it with Will Pierce from the great Pierce Day Camp down in Long Island that he runs with his cousin, who's awesome as well. And you know, and their father and grandfather, like this has been in the family since for over 100 years. And, you know, camp, again, one of the things we take for granted is that we're running around all summer. We're trying to do a great job. We're writing notes down and all this kind of thing. And then the end of the summer comes and it's like, we fall off a cliff mentally. And we're just like, ah, I want to relax. I want to go vacation and all that kind of stuff. But meanwhile, all these things that happen during the summer, so many of them go to the wayside if we don't write them down and come up with an intentional system to fix them for next year. Because otherwise, next year starts and you're going, oh man, the same thing happened last year. I forgot about that, right? So, you know, Will, one of the things that he had was the quick little takeaway. And I shouldn't say Will, it's Courtney, it's Doug, it's the whole crew of Pierce people over there. It's the glitch list, which is, you know, they have one person assigned that keeps a running list of all the glitches as they arise. So if you see a glitch, you bring it to this person, they write it down and makes it to the glitch list to be addressed in the fall, right? That's the one thing. The second big one takeaway for me was the CPR, the complete program review that they do in the fall. And it's just way more extensive than I've ever heard any other camp do, although Robin Hood is a close second, I have to say. But these, you know, basically going on a retreat of sweets and soda and stuff for a weekend. And they have a system, if you listen back to the episode, of discussing the things, figuring out what needs to get done, figuring out who's going to do it, and a timeline on when it gets done, and just being super intentional about it. Because, you know, we're camp people, we're super creative, we have a million ideas, and very few of them actually get done because we're trying to juggle so many things, right? So we end up being proficient at a lot of things and not great at a lot of things. So more power to the Pierces. Thank you very much for sharing.
When you talk about the glitch list, like, you know, you can have a bunch of subjects that you want to address at your, you know, at your wrap up meeting, your debrief meeting, whatever it is, and have different people responsible for each. And you don't have to address it the day after camp ends when you're exhausted and just want to go and, you know, go to bed for a week, but you could come back, you know, a week later or, you know, or a couple weeks later and have a meeting and, you know, get the different people to present, from their individual lists that they've been compiling. And it's also, you know, if you have a tight knit group of leadership team members, like, you know, we do at Robin Hood, you know, it's a great way to say, you know, bring people together, have a nice retreat where you're, you know, eating too many sweets and, you know, sharing stories of the summer and just, you know, having a good time and saying thank you for, you know, the directors and owners saying thank you to the team for, you know, for the work that they've done. So it has a twofold purpose for us at Robin Hood.
Yeah, no, it's team building as well. There's no doubt about it. I think, you know, there's mechanics involved in it too. Talking about writing things down. I'm the kind of guy that walks around with a clipboard and writes things down all the time, but that's just how I roll, right? Brandy, who works with me, who we met this season, she doesn't like having anything in her hands. She likes being able to grab things, move things, you know, hug people, whatever it is. And there is, you know, I think I've even heard Michael Brandwine say that it's good not to be holding things because it shows that you're open. Right? If you're holding something, you're actually less approachable than when you're not holding something. Right? But you have to therefore figure out a way to write things down though. At the end of the day, when you come inside, whatever it is, because you're seeing things that cannot be fixed. Oh, we really need to fix the boating dock at the end of the summer. Like whatever it is, but you got to write it down. Okay. All right.
So online people too have such a different outlook on things than we do sometimes. So they have a really valuable input.
I carry a binder with notes in it throughout the summer with me, and the funny thing about that, that's just how I stay organized. But the funny thing about that is my first year on staff, a guy who I probably shouldn't have been taking advice from, said, if you want to never be bothered at camp and you want people to think that you are working hard, carry a clipboard with you and walk around with a stressed look on your face, and no one will ever come near you. Oh, so you're right about, you don't have that openness, you might not have that openness, approachability if you have that clipboard, but, you might be fooling a few people thinking that you're working harder than you are too.
Right. Approachability. That's a topic for next season. How to get people to actually tell you things instead of going, well, but Sam, you're always so busy, so I didn't want to bother you. All right, Aaron, we got to keep it rolling. Moving on to the next one.
Yeah. So the other one that I chose for this was the staff meeting episode that we had Thurber and McGuire on. Two great guys. Lots of great insight from that discussion. And there was some. I mean, the underlying message was communication and how to maintain communication with your staff. So some people do have the ability to have formal meetings at camp on a, 2-3 times a day basis with, various groups, and other people really logistically cannot make it work. But that doesn't mean that they can't communicate with their staff and keep them in the know. And then I think from a, as we address more and more anxiety in our society, whether it's our staff or our campers, when people feel like they know what's going on and they're kept, there's a solid chain of communication, a regular chain of communication, staff feel better, and they can in turn, pass that feeling of ease onto the campers and share some, information with the campers, especially, if it's a weather related thing or, there's been some change of plans. Like, it's important to get that information out to the staff. I find from my experience, and we did talk about that in the podcast. I think that the guys had some great insight about just really keeping meetings concise and on topic and meaningful. So, having an agenda or a preamble where you just, lay out how what's going to be addressed in the meeting, and just gives people an idea of how long it's going to take, and stay on topic. Keep the I believe they said cut out the extender from the meeting. So, the people who want to hear themselves talk, or they have topics that are completely irrelevant to the majority of the group, nicely ask those people to talk, to bring that topic to you personally afterwards. It's a great tip to keep meetings flowing. I have a tendency to be a rambler in meetings, so when I'm leading meetings, so I took some great notes from this session that I'm definitely are going to help me. Give other people a chance to talk. There's lots of people on your staff that are capable of sharing information. You don't have to be the one, especially me. I don't have the most, Andy's got a voice of beauty where he can bring a harmonious voice, bring people in. And I tend, I tend to be a rambler. I don't have the most upbeat. I'm more of a, I'm more of an introvert, so I don't need to be in front of people. I do it obviously as part of my job, but, it's great to share the stage with people who might be better at delivering the message and might do it in a more exciting way. Make a meeting, make a meeting something for staff to look forward to. Share some great stories at the beginning of the meeting if you're only doing it from time to time. Have music, snacks, fun things going on at the meeting that people look forward to. Give out awards, give out prizes, do some contests if you have the luxury of doing a weekly all staff meeting after camp, that kind of thing, which is something we do at Robin Hood. Just make that meeting a valuable and enjoyable experience for the staff. And when I say valuable, I mean, make sure that they're not just there to have fun and listen to music, but also that there's an agenda and that they're getting something out of it. So they feel like they should be there. Inspire people with your meetings is something that the guys talked about, which I think was a great point.
Yeah. You mentioned people rambling during meetings and people getting off track, right? Camp people are generally too nice. That's like our Achilles heel. And therefore the people running the meetings are usually too nice to cut people off and keep people, you know, focused. And my experience being the president of the board of directors of American Camp Association, New York, New Jersey, that was great practice because that was all camp directors. All they want to do is hear each other talk, and having to keep people focused and centered. That was a big help in bringing back to my, you know, to my camp. You know, the whole meetings thing to me is the epitome of like why we want to do this podcast, because it's one of the many things, just like, you know, debriefing your summer and all that, that we all know is important, but for whatever reason, we never have time to do it the way we wish we could, right? I hear camp people all the time saying the reason why they can't have meetings is because they don't have time. It's day camp. We just don't have time. The days moves too fast. The kids get off the bus. The next thing you know, they're gone. Where am I going to have a meeting, right? But like anything else that we talk about, if you are serious about it, if you really want to get it done, you can do it. We can find a way. Just like we're going to find a way to have camp post-pandemic and all that. We are creative people. If it's important, we'll make it happen.
And Andy, something you mentioned in that podcast was, why not do something during the off season where you can teach people how to run a meeting properly, teach people how to, you know, time manage or whatever. And so that, you know, the meetings are useful, that they can do it in a concise way, maybe bring in a, you know, as an added value to your leadership team for, you know, the work that they do, bring in a professional business coach or somebody who can, you know, teach you how to run a meeting. So I thought that was a great point that you made.
Yeah. Well, if you have someone, if you have one person on staff that's really good at it, get them to show the other people at it. You can't hire administrators at camp and expect that they're going to be good at this. This is not a normal human thing to do, to run an efficient meeting. It's not. Okay. Just like it's not a normal human thing to do to be able to tell people what they're not doing well. That's not either. And it's not a normal human thing to say, okay, go, there's a division of 150 kids, go get them all riled up and psyched for the day. Like, not everybody has that in them. So, you know, I had mentioned that one of the best Michael Brandwein sessions that I ever saw him give was how to give a session. And it was great because he's just such an expert at it, and it helps anybody who's, you know, who's winging it. All right, moving on. Sam, it's up for your number two.
All right. So you knew my second one was probably going to be inclusion, since that's a subject near and dear to my heart. Some wonderful things that I learned from that podcast. Terry had a lot of stuff on the show notes, different questions that you should use as your intake, and different ways to craft how you figure out who you're getting at camp and how you're going to work with that parent. So that was very valuable. I also loved her Harmony Hut. I thought that was great, a sensory room with a, you know, a different twist. And then also when kids are having meltdowns, Lucia had a great idea to do color-coded messages. So when someone's needing some time away from the group, instead of them feeling penalized and standing in a corner, or just, you know, she gave them a job, and the director would write, put a color-coded envelope, and they knew by the color how long that child needed to be occupied. So then their one-on-one would go with them to deliver this message to another camp, and they had a purpose, and they had a focus, and they were busy, and they weren't being penalized. And so it was much easier for them to cool down and get their act back together before they went back to camp. And then that director then would send a message back to the original place. So I thought that was genius.
Yeah.
A lot of good ideas.
There's so many, you know, I think one of the main reasons that camps don't get into inclusion the way they should is because they dip their toe in it. They say, oh, we're nice people, we'll take anybody. Oh, sure, she's got a little bit of an issue, sure, yeah, bring it up. But then they don't do it intentionally. They don't do it with really real forethought and preparation, and then it ends up, you know, going down the toilet. I think what that inclusion episode showed was being proactive, right? How important it is, how if you really think things through, and we were talking about the intake, like you mentioned, like setting up little tripwires when people sign up so that they can just give you some clues that, okay, I think this is going to require a further conversation. And you know, coming to grips with the reality, yeah, the Harmony Hut, it seems crazy to create a sensory room for kids that are losing their marbles, but any kid, even typical kids, lose it from time to time. So you put in a kid with a learning disability or on the autistic spectrum, of course they're going to be overwhelmed when it's 100 degrees and humid and when they're disappointed about something. So to be prepared for those things and be able to bring them back quicker, ah, so wonderful. I totally agree. It's a great one. Okay, so my last one is, to me, the extremely appropriate for the time, which is running your camp like a business that we did with Jonathan Gold. Jonathan, my friend, who went to business school and was a business professor and professes many great things and has lots of great metaphors. And the one metaphor that I'm really learning right now, big time, is you got to have gas in that tank if you're going to run that business. So here we are, you know, going through the whole COVID-19 thing and people withdrawing and are we going to have camp and is it going to get canceled and what are we going to do and all that kind of thing. And it literally just comes down to gas in the tank. You know, are we going to have enough gas in the tank to run this summer if we have less kids? Are we going to have gas to run in the tank for next summer if we don't run this summer? I think that everyone is getting a very harsh 2x4 to the forehead reality check of this is a business that we're running here, and the gas in the tank thing, and you know, one of the things that he talked about was the burn rate that he called it, right? How much money does your organization use normally from time to time, from moment to moment? Like, what's your burn rate in January? What's your burn rate in April? What's your burn rate in the summer? They're all different. And we all had to come to that realization what our burn rates were when we were thinking about making it to the summer going through this coronavirus thing. And literally the American camps that applied for PPP, that's literally what they asked for. The government said, how much are you paying in salaries, you know, every week? How much are you paying in mortgage? How much are you paying in taxes? How much are you paying in health insurance? You know, what utilities? What are your expenses for just going to work? You know, kind of thing. And it's very enlightening. I think that we, you know, most of us, I would say 99% of us, get into camping because we want to change the world and make a positive difference with children and sing kumbaya around the campfire and feel really good about what we do and know that we lived a great life where we made a lot of great positive change, right? And so does Jonathan Gold, by the way. But Jonathan will tell us that you can't do that unless you have gas in the tank, and unless you have campers signed up, and unless you plan when people are paying and when you're spending and all that kind of thing. We gone are the days, right? Sam, you may remember back in the 90s, the early 2000s, before the bubble broke with the internet thing, the .coms, right? In the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, camps just had it easy. They would start up camp, they would enroll campers, and they really didn't have to look at the money thing because the money was just coming. People had disposable income. And then in the early 2000s, the .com thing happened, and all of a sudden things changed. And then a few years later, the recession happened, and then things changed forever. And now we got the coronavirus thing on top of it. Well, we're certainly getting good at change. There's no doubt about it. And we're also getting good at we're getting better at understanding our camps as businesses. So shout out to Jonathan and all.
Oh, all right, for the days, yeah, when everyone came to camp, everyone in your community came.
Yeah, no, I remember one of my resident camp colleagues said to me when I first became a camp director in the early 90s, in the mid-90s, he said, oh, day camp, that's the easiest thing in the world. You just turn on a faucet and the money comes out. You guys like print money over there, man. Everybody needs day camp, right? Yeah, everyone needs it when everybody's got money in their pocket. Everybody needs it, right? Whew. All right. We're going to wind down this episode with each of us talking about our goals for the summer. You know, assuming we have a regular camp season, regular enough that we can apply some of the things that we've learned and that we want to make better in our camps, I am handing it off to you again, Mr. Gluckstein. You go first.
Thanks. Yeah, so I think for me, I'm going to relate it back to the podcast that I just that was on my best list. The idea of doing inspirational, having meetings that are inspirational, I think is something that's important, especially given the current climate and just, you know, making sure that people, you know, keep their mental health, as positive as possible. You know, we have a guy, who is actually a high school, football coach during the year. And he's one of the directors during the summer and he does an amazing job. He's like the I'm trying to think of the actor, but you know, any of these football movies really, where there's like those huge inspirational moments, you know, like Any Given Sunday, Remember the Titans, Jerry Maguire, whatever, you know, these he makes epic speeches that, you know, in week seven of the summer when everyone's exhausted, I'm like, wow, that was better than you know, that was better than in those movies that we've seen. So he's able to do that, you know, when he comes in. So, you know, being able to infuse that into you know, into every meeting to some degree, you know, whether it's somebody, you know, specific delivering that message every day, or delivering a message every single day that's inspirational, or maybe just having an inspirational quote as part of the you know, as part of the meeting, or you know, or handing it off to a different person each day to, you know, to tell an inspirational story, to end off a meeting, you know, a morning meeting, you know, at the beginning of the day. I think, you know, just having a meaningful meeting that ends off by inspiring people is going to, you know, help make this summer great for everybody.
Well, that is a great goal. Awesome. All right, Sam, this is it.
Mine is also tied to one of my favorites, Aaron. The specialist one I have, at this point, my camp counselors have all been doing their own art projects. But I have staff on board that are experts in art and really should be stepping everyone up and helping teach our counselors how to do that more efficiently and what the goals are. So I'm going to start an art specialist position this summer and do my get ready zone and be ready to go with that.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, I think you've been fortunate to have great counselors that can do those things. But the fact is, not every counselor can is able to do that. And frankly, you know, your organization, you're not going to be there forever to be monitoring this either, Sam. So it's good to sort of be able to create infrastructure, you know, for that kind of thing. You know, again, always if you can afford it, right? Because there's plenty of places that can't afford that kind of infrastructure. But it is nice talking from someone that does have that. All right, my goal of the summer, I went to Tri-State this past year, and I went to three different sessions, one by Scott Arizala, one, I can't remember who that one was, the last one on the last day was with Brandwine, and it was about coaching your staff and getting them to be better coaches. And the common thread through all of them was asking questions. You know, we hire these people, we tell them they're in charge, they're supervisors. And what goes into their head is that, oh, great, now I get to tell everybody what to do. And the common thread of these sessions I went to was about, no. Now you get to ask people questions. And you know, I'm listening to a great new podcast. It's called Flying Coach. It's with Steve Kerr of the Warriors and Pete Carroll of the Seahawks, two amazing, accomplished coaches. And in the first, there's only been a few episodes, and the last one had Brené Brown, which, by the way, it was amazing. But in the first episode, they were talking about framing the whole coaching thing. And they said, coaching is not telling people what to do, but doing what you can to bring out the best in your people. And I think that's really important. I think that we empower these middle management people, most of them school teacher kind of people, most of them really don't have administrative kind of degrees or experience or anything like that. And they walk around telling people what to do. And they think they're doing, that's their job. Andy, you paid me to tell everyone to do. And no. It's to bring out the best in them. And what Michael, you know, did so great, and I'll put it in the show notes from his session, he literally made like a booklet 11 pages long of questions for people to be asking people when they walk around, right? And one of the things that I always say about camp is it's very symmetrical. The relationship that I have with my leadership team should be the same relationship that they have with their staff, which should be the same relationship that the staff should have with their campers. And everybody should be coaching all the way through that. I should be coaching my people just the way the counselors should be coaching their kids. And coaching kids is the same thing. You don't just tell kids what to do, right? If anything, you ask them to do things. You don't tell them. And I mean, unless there's safety involved, of course. But walking around, instead of saying, hey, what are you guys doing? You guys having a good time? You having fun, right? But asking questions like, so what are we learning here today? and talking that way so that, you know, the purpose of your camp comes through in how the communications work, right? Anyway, I'm very, very excited about that. And I did a Zoom meeting with 38 leadership people the other night, which I don't know how it went because it was Zoom. Man, we're getting good at Zoom. But anyway, that is one of my focuses for the summer. So folks, turn your mics on. We got to say goodbye to everybody. This is it. This is farewell to the 2019-2020 season as we embark on our summer.
Can you believe it? We've how many episodes are we up to? This is 37, I think.
Yeah, but I don't even think that counts the mini pods. I think we're over 40.
It doesn't. You know? Yeah, we are at least 40.
And we are keeping up the mini pod thing. The goal for our next season after the summer is that we're going to do mini pods on the off weeks. So we do a regular podcast and then a, you know, 15-20 minute mini pod in between. For a little dopamine hit of day camp podcasting right
there. It's exciting.
So you know, we have been touting our awesome producer, Matt Hansberger, throughout. One last shout out to him for having to listen to this and edit it up and writing those beautiful show notes, which we really love. And to Travis Allison, Mr. Camp Maverick himself, king of the Go Camp Pro team, and lord of the Summer Camp Professionals, 20,000 strong Facebook group, and the COVID-19 Slack, and it just goes on and on. Travis and his wife Beth have created a nice little group of consultants and stuff that we, you know, Aaron and Sam and I are proud to be a part of. And we hope that, you know, those of you who are in camp organizations that are looking for a little extra consulting and help and all that kind of, check out the Camp Mavericks and the Go Camp Pro people, you know, people like Ruby and Gabby and all. There's just such smart, smart people that we have involved. And, you know, we'd never be able to do this and we'd never be able to pay our man Matt unless we didn't have our dedicated sponsors, the American Camp Association, New York and New Jersey, Susie Lupert and her crew, who are doing a great job with this whole coronavirus thing and the webinars and everything they're doing, supporting us professionally has been wonderful. Commercial recreation specialists, my friend Rich Wills, selling his Wibbits and water trampolines and water parks, and my Fresh Park skate park stuff, and now my PA system, oh my God, I got so many different things. I once bought a lightning detector from them once. That was an interesting one. But CRS, they do great work, and we really appreciate them. And then finally, AM Skyer, who is always there for anything the camp industry does to support us. You know, they're one of the leading insurance companies out there for over 100 years. And what a great, great crew of people. So if you don't want to miss this episode, as we always say, you should subscribe. And, you know, we have very few ratings besides our family members and closest friends. So feel free to hook us up with a couple of stars, because it gives us more flow. It helps us that when you give us ratings, it helps us so that when people search for Potlisted with a Camp podcast, they put it into Spotify, right? It pops up based on all those things. How many people listen, how many people rate them, and all that kind of thing. So that's why we ask for that. And again,
I think we just need a few more before iTunes actually will publish the stats. Because I think goodness. You have to be over a certain threshold, but we're almost there.
Don't make me ask my campers, for God's sake. So check out the show notes from this and other episodes at daycamppodcast.com, as well as contact information for the show, our guests, and my amazing co-hosts, Sam and Aaron. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, sayonara. Have a great season. This is Andy, Sam, and Aaron signing off. Have a great summer.
Stay healthy.
The Day Camp Pod is brought to you by Beth and Travis Allison, summer camp leadership training and marketing consultants. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, Camp Pros, we love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, we hope that whenever you share an idea that you learn from the Camp Hacker podcast, conference, summer camp professionals group, or wherever else, that you're quick to give credit where credit is due. That way, we can all encourage more camp pros to share the tips and tricks that will make camp better.